new song was a different kind of song, a different kind of music than what I was used to. When I used to hear those songs, and my pastor that came to Canada, his wife, she played piano. She played that southern style piano, because they were from Oklahoma. And you know, I just got saved, and I never went to church, didn't know anything about the Bible. Didn't know anything about Christian music. And I was introduced to that kind of worship and that kind of preaching right from the beginning of my Christian life. And I've never known anything but since then. Me and my wife, we got saved in a Baptist church before I was a Christian. And that little Baptist church was used to win me to Christ. And that Creek preacher came up there, that Baptist preacher, and he baptized me in the Grand River. And I surrendered my life to serve the Lord in that little Baptist church. I was ordained by a Baptist council of 35 preachers in Canada. And I've been a Baptist all of my Christian life, and I ain't about to jump ship now. Amen. I'm a Baptist with a capital letter B. That's the kind of Baptist I am. Amen. How many of you tonight are not Baptists? I won't get you to raise your hand, but if you're not Baptist, you should be ashamed. I said that in the church one time. It was a big non-native church, and must have been about 15 or people raised their hand that there wasn't Baptist. And I said, well, if you raise your hand, you should be ashamed you're not a Baptist. You know? Yeah, it did. Okay, let's turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. I'll try to be short. I don't have to try because I am short. All right. While you're turning there in your Bible, I'll tell you a little story about this native man that used to raise horses. And he was known for the horses that he raised in this community. And one day this non-native guy, well, I'll just say it, he was a white guy. All right. He came over to this native guy and he said, I'd like to buy a horse from you because I heard that you're real good at raising horses. And so he said, sure. So the guy looked over his horses and he says, I would like that nice white stallion out there. I'd like to buy that horse from you. And the native guy said to him, he said, well, him no look too good. And so the non-native guy said, I made up my mind. That's the horse I want. And he said, well, him no look too good. So he said, he insisted. So the native guy sold him the white stallion, put it in his trailer, away he went. And several days later, he came back with that horse. And he said to that native guy, he said, you sold me a blind horse. And he said, I told you, him no look too good. You know, just didn't want to listen to that native guy, amen. So I hope you listen to this old native preacher tonight, amen. What I got to say, it's not about me. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Remind me of another story about this missionary that went to work with native people. He went to this little reservation way up north and started visiting around, and he heard about this elderly native man that was very influential in the community. So he went over to visit him. And if you know native people, they're generally very quiet people. They usually don't talk that much. And there's exceptions to that, of course. But generally speaking, on these small isolated reservations, they're pretty quiet. So anyways, he goes up to the older gentleman and he says to him, Brother Jim, he says, have you lived here your entire life? And the native guy said, not yet. They went right by him, amen. Native wisdom, amen. All right, let's read Matthew 16. For time's sake, I'm going to cut some of this off and break it down a little bit so we're not too lengthy tonight. Let me just start reading in verse number 13. It says, Matthew 16:13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that the Son of Man am? That's a good question. Amen. Just what is the world saying about the Son of God? That's basically what he's saying. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, so one of the prophets. That's not a bad crowd to be identified with. Amen. But they got that one of the prophets stuck in there, that a lot of religions, that's all they see, that Jesus is just another prophet. Amen. And then he says unto them, but whom ye say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. He said, you didn't get that answer from that Bible college or that seminary. God gave that to you. There are just some things in life that you can only get certain kind of information directly from God. Amen. Now, there used to be a time in the history of Christianity when direct revelation was to be valued. But we're not living in those days now where we get direct revelation. We have the inspired, infallible, complete Word of God. Amen. And if God is going to speak to you, He's going to speak to you through the pages of this blessed King James Bible. Amen. So he said, my Father in heaven gave this to you. He said, but, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, of course, you picture the scene of Peter and Jesus standing there on the coast of Caesarea Philippi on that beach with all those pebbles there. And Jesus is standing there and he says about Peter, he said, Peter is like those little pebbles. Amen. Mm-hmm. But he said, upon this rock, the massive rock, amen, I will build my church, he says. He didn't say he would. And by the way, Peter was not the first pope of the church.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
And the church wasn't built on Peter or all the other saints, whoever they are. Amen. The church was built on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But he said also that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This verse doesn't mean that we're holding back the gates of hell. This verse has the implication that we are charging hell.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, amen.
That's right.
And so I just got through preaching a couple of revivals out in Arizona on the Navajo Reservation. And I started preaching this revival to Native churches because our ministry is helping rebuild Native churches on how to rebuild your church after the COVID. Mm. How to rebuild your church after the COVID. Now, we're not through with COVID yet. Amen.
Yeah.
It's still around. But I think a lot of people believe we're through with it. Mm. I probably told Brother Donat that I did a study on all of these plagues from the past. And I found out that during those plagues in the past, a lot of people during that time of death and fear and anguish, people turned to church. Amen. I'm not saying they stayed there, but they turned to church. They sought out God. Amen.
Yes.
But not this one.
That's right.
This one, they turned away from God.
That's
right. Amen. You know why? Because we're living in the last days when men's hearts shall wax worse and worse. When they're calling good evil and evil good. Amen. We're living in those kind of detestable days, and I'm almost done. Amen. I'm 70 years old and I'm looking for the call. Amen. And I don't care if I go through the clouds or through the clod. I'm going. I'm a winner either way, if I go or if I stay. Amen. But I'm saying my heart goes out to you young people, because you got to raise your kids in the next generation. And God help them with what they have to face. Amen. I mean, back in our days, and I was raised in the typewriter age. Amen. I didn't know anything about computers or iPhones and all that stuff, you know. It was a typewriter. And some of you folks are smiling, and yeah, that was my age too, amen? But anyways, the technology that we have today, you would think that it would make us better evangelistic churches. But instead, people would sooner spend more time on their cell phone than reading the Bible. How many times a day do you... I'm not preaching against the cell phone because I got one, all right? But just think about this. How many times a day do you pick up that cell phone and check your email and your text? And maybe even at the end of the night, maybe that's the last thing you do, is just check your mail, amen. If we read that Bible right there as many times as we did that cell phone, we would be a whole lot. I'm just trying to tell you that technology is not getting us closer, but it's getting us away from God. And you know the Bible says in the last days that every eye shall behold Him. We do have the technology now for every eye to behold Him. And I know there's a spiritual application for it, and only Christians are going to see the Lord, and we're the only ones who are going to hear the trumpet. But I'm saying to you that in the age that we live in, technology is not making us better Christians. It's making us less Christians.
Yes.
Thank God for the good old days. Amen. You say you're old fogey. I'm guilty of it. Amen. But I'm telling you, I'm glad that I'm where I'm at right now in my Christian life. A lot of you young people, you got a whole lot to go through yet in your life. And you ain't learned nothing yet. Amen. Hello. Come on, some of you old people, help me out here. All right. All right, now you're getting me off track here. I'm trying to stay on the message, but you keep getting me sidetracked, all right? So I said I was preaching this series on how to rebuild your church after the COVID. And this is the introduction to that series, so I'm just going to preach the introduction, all right? Because it's a pretty good introduction. First of all, if you're going to rebuild your church after the COVID, you need to build on the Savior. The Bible says there is only one foundation that you can build a church on.
That's right.
And that's on the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You're not going to build it on entertaining these young people. You're going to put up a big screen. You could have your bands. You could have all the lights dimmed and lights on, and it'll just make them think they were at a theater or some rock concert or something like that. You can do all that to these young people, but it won't get them to Christ. Amen. It's by the foolishness of preaching that we're saved. The problem is, a lot of times you go to church and it's like a refrigerator in the church. And the reason why it's like that is because we got penguins sitting in the pew. Amen. All froze up and used to cold things. And the reason we got penguins in the pew, Brother Donat, because we got a polar bear in the pulpit. Amen. Amen. Listen, I like it when the church doesn't have air conditioning. Amen. You know my last name is Burning. God didn't give me that last name for no reason. Amen. And by the way, John the Baptist is I am a direct descendant of John the Baptist, because in the book of Mark it says he was a burning. You look that up when you get home and you'll see it says that he was a burning. Amen. I'm going further back than being a Baptist. Amen. I'm just saying you got to build your church on Jesus. Jesus is the primary message of a Bible-believing church. We've got to the place in our Baptist churches where we're preaching more politics than Jesus Christ. I'm sick and tired of hearing about what the government has to say about COVID. I'm sick and tired of hearing about a mask and not a mask. Bless God, you have Halloween every day of your life if you want. Put your mask on if you want, or don't put it on. I just came from a church down there in Burlington, North Carolina, a couple of months ago. I went and preached for a well-known preacher, and his church used to run up in the 300s, and I got there to preach for him, and he said, Brother Burning, I just want to tell you that when COVID hit, we lost 60% of our church.
Yeah.
They left.
I believe it.
Of the 40% he had left, They had another split and lost 20% because some people wouldn't come to church because some people had masks on and some didn't. They split again over the mask. And then of the people, he said, and the people that I do have left, my son was my associate pastor and his wife left him during COVID. And we had a social problem at our church and we lost some more. I just felt so bad for him. Yes. Amen. Then his wife was in the first stage of Alzheimer's. Amen. And I went there with the intention. He called me and asked me to come and present Native Missions to his church. And I did that, of course. But I just had such a broken heart for him. He was an older preacher. He was 78 years old. And he said, Brother Burning, I don't even know if I'm going to be here in 6 months. And I said to him, I said, Brother, we might not all be here in 6 months. Amen. But I'm just trying to tell you, out there, there is so much turmoil going on because we have lost sight of what this right here is all about.
Yes.
It's all about Jesus. Amen. He is the firm foundation. Amen. But he's also the very reason why we function. Amen. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Try to do it on your own. As a preacher that's preached over 40 years, I tried to do it on my own. I did. I thought I had all my ducks in order and I had the Bible training and college training and I had all that stuff. And I just figured if I just get up, preacher, and just preach what I wanted to preach, everybody would love me and the church would fill up. It didn't turn out that way. Amen. It took me quite a while to learn that the premier message of every church should be the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, if the Son of Man be lifted up, he will draw men unto him. Amen.
Amen.
Not our programs, not all these other things, but Jesus Christ has to be lifted up. The church must be also built on the scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, a classic verse. That all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished. Amen. The scriptures. I remember I was out in the Navajo reservation about 20 years ago and I was preaching for a Navajo church and I was sitting on the front pew getting ready to preach and a little Navajo boy was sitting next to me and he looked over at my Bible. And he looked at his, and he looked at mine, and finally he said to me, he says, what's that say on your Bible? And I say, it's KJV 1611. He looked at his, and he said, what does it mean? I said, it means King James Version. He looked at his, and he's had NIV. And he always thought it was Navajo Indian Version. And he said, I want a Bible with the King's name on it.
Amen.
Listen, if a little Navajo boy on the Navajo reservation can recognize the importance of that precious book just by looking at the cover, how come the world seems to just think that the King James Bible is antiquated and out of date? But they sure like Shakespeare. Amen. They think that's classical English and it's the same kind of English as the King James Bible. I'm just saying we just can't build a church unless we build it on the scriptures. Amen. Thus saith the Lord. Then we must build our church upon the Spirit. Zechariah 4:6 says, not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. You know, every church has a different kind of spirit. That's right.
Yep.
Every person has a different kind of spirit.
Yep.
And you get around certain people and they manifest a certain kind of spirit about them.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right.
When I got here tonight, I could sense the spirit of this church. Amen.
Amen.
And you say, well, tell us. Tell us, you old Indian preacher. You really want me to tell you?
Uh-oh.
And I've seen all these young people standing around at the porch out there. And where is that little tearing guy. Likes to tear and stuff. Well, there he is right over there. And I heard him as soon as we pulled up, "Where's Brother Bernie? Where's Brother Bernie?" Amen. And I looked at all these young people and I said, "Praise the Lord for you young people."
Amen.
Amen. All you young men sitting up here. You know what? You know, can I just talk to you guys for a minute? Just give me a minute. Right?
Yeah.
Do you know the greatest thing you can do with your life? Besides get saved. Are you saved? You've been born again? You absolutely 100% sure? If you're not, you need to get saved tonight.
Amen.
But you know what? If you are saved, you know the best and the greatest thing you can do with your life is surrender to preach.
Amen.
Give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus to serve Him the rest of your life. Believe me, after 40 plus years of being saved, I wish I had gotten saved and surrendered earlier. Every Christian will say that got saved later on in life. Wouldn't have to have some of that baggage in my life. Amen. Wouldn't have to have some of those thoughts or those things in my life that were there before I got saved. Bless God, you don't have to have those things. You can listen. You can live a pure life for God all your life. Amen. My daughter, her name is Becky, and she was raised in a Christian home. We started a Christian academy in our church, and she was raised in a Christian environment her whole life. We were away up in Lansing, Michigan, and Brother Don Green asked me to preach a Sunday night for him. And I was up there preaching and in that service, and lo and behold, my 10-year-old girl came forward in the service, bawling her head off, and gave her heart, not to get saved, but to serve God.
Amen.
10 years old. Now she's in her 30s. She got two daughters, grandchildren. She married a Baptist preacher's son. And they're up there in that church in Canada where I was. And they're working in that church. And they're sending their girls to that Christian academy. They're teaching them the Bible. And I'm glad to be able to say, listen, my daughter was not a casualty of the ministry.
Amen.
And maybe some of you don't know what I'm saying, but there are a lot of casualties to the ministry life. Not all PKs turn out great.
That's right.
But I'm glad my daughter's still hanging in there. She loves her dad. And whenever I'm back, bless God, me and her get out those guitars. And her girls get on them little instruments. And her son grabs his guitar. And we just have ourselves a time playing and singing for the Lord. Amen. That is a heritage.
Yes.
Of a faithful preacher. Amen.
Amen.
Are you bragging? Yeah, I'm bragging on Jesus. Because it wasn't for the Lord, that wouldn't happen. I'm saying everybody in every church has a different kind of spirit about them. The best spirit you can have here is the Holy Ghost is here.
Amen.
You'll know when He shows up.
Yes, sir.
I've been around Him a few times. I'm not saying it was every service, but I've been around, preacher, when that Holy Ghost showed up in that church. And me and Brother Don Harton were way down in a Rock Cave, West Virginia, when I first got saved and called to preach. I was only 3 years old in the Lord, and Brother Raymond Johnson took us down to Virginia. And we got into that church in Rock Cave, West Virginia, and we were having a service, and that night the storm rolled in, and the preacher got up to preach, and he preached on when the light goes out in the life of Samuel, when that candle went out. And the lightning hit, thunder roared, and all the lights in that whole county went out. We were all in church, sitting there in church. And when that happened, the church just sat there. Nobody moved for 3 hours. Mm. And then all of a sudden, Sunday school teachers start getting saved.
Yeah, that's right. Good. Come on.
Yeah.
People were still sitting in that church at 2 o'clock in the morning. That night. This is not a charismatic church. This is an independent Baptist church. This was the real Holy Ghost.
Amen.
This was God that showed up that night.
Amen.
Amen. And ever since then, I have longed for those services.
Amen.
When God
Amen.
Shows up.
Amen.
I desire it. I want to see God like that. Amen. I want people to know God like
Amen.
That. I'm tired of these dry, dead services.
Amen.
I'm sick and tired of playing religion and playing church. Amen.
Sure.
I want God.
Help us,
and I'll tell you, if the Holy Spirit, if your church invites the Holy Spirit, please don't do anything to kick him out. Because he will leave. Amen. My spirit shall not always strive with men. I know there's an application to that, so don't correct me. Amen. I'm just saying, I'm talking about the Spirit of God. That every church, if we're going to rebuild after the COVID, we need God's Holy Spirit. We need that fresh oil, Brother Jim.
Yes, sir.
That anointing of God. You young people, you ever get around where God is, it'll change your life.
That's right.
Amen. You'll say, what in the world happened to me? I'll tell you what happened.
Amen.
God moved in your life.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
And then also the church must be built on, I got several things, so I'll skip a couple of them. The church must be built on service. Service. This is a church service. When I was down in Gallup, New Mexico, we just came from Gallup, New Mexico, there's a famous restaurant in that little town on Interstate 40, just before Arizona. If you ever go down through there, it's called Gallup, New Mexico. Me and my wife went there as missionaries about 30 years ago, started a church there. And when we went there, my wife said, I never want to live here. Don't ever say that, because 3 months later, we're moving in there. Amen. Amen. Anyways, they got a restaurant there. That restaurant's name is Earl's Restaurant. It's a famous restaurant, and the food is tremendous. And you can sit there in that restaurant, the Navajo people are coming around with their crafts and earrings and jewelry, and they allow them to come right to your table and show them their wares and stuff. It's just a very unique restaurant. And I always went there to that restaurant when I went to Gallup, but this time I went there and I was preaching at Grace Navajo Baptist Church, and the members were taking turns taking me and Sister Brenda out to eat every day. Gain some weight, amen? And they took me to this other restaurant called Jerry's. I said, I've never been here before. And it was kind of a hole in the wall. It wasn't real nice like Earl's restaurant. And we went in there, and this, it was crowded and hot. And they just stuck us in a little booth. You know, the bunch of us stuck together real tight in this little booth. And the guy, Tom Bell, that's his name, he says, order whatever you want, preacher, but every dish is good in here. So I ordered my meal, and they brought the food, Brother Donat, and I started to eat that Mexican food, and I said, wow, I've been eating at Earl's all this time. And this little hole in the wall has food twice as good as Earl's. Amen? And I thought to myself, I said, but at Earl's, they got good service. They got really nicely dressed waiters and waitresses. The atmosphere is really good. Amen? But you know what? The food wasn't as good. And I'd sooner go to Jerry's now than go to Earl's. Amen? Because it's not necessarily the service. It's the food you serve.
Uh-huh.
Hello? Are you? Did you get that, or did it go by you? Amen? I'm saying, listen, you can have the best service. You can walk into some of these churches, and they'll give you the best service you've ever had. They'll have welcomers at the door, and they'll have padded pews and air conditioned, and they'll have the band. They have everything real nice, but they ain't going to give you no food. Amen. You're going to go in starving. You're going to come out starving.
Yeah.
I'd sooner have this right here, amen, where you can go to church and get fed the Word of God. Amen. I'm talking about service. Amen. You're here to service this community. Amen. And please, service them with a smile.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's good.
Don't have a grudging attitude when you witness to somebody.
Yeah. Come on.
Me and my wife are coming down out of North Carolina. I'm driving and she's sleeping, you know. And I'm driving down the road and this guy comes beside me, comes whipping. And he cut me off, preacher. He almost hit the front of my van. I backed off and he went around me and I said, I'll show him. You know how us guys are, right? So I pulled up went around him like this, and I went by him, and I just stared at him. And went by him. Pulled around in front of him like that. But he was a guy. Amen. He was a guy. So what did he do? I see him coming in my rear view mirror. And my wife's sleeping, remember? She don't know what's going on. So he comes flying up right beside me. And when he got right beside me, I gave him the stupidest look I could ever give this guy. You know? But my windows are tinted. Right? So you can't see in. But I can see out. And I thought to myself, my wife sleeps. She don't see me doing this. The guy don't see me making faces at him. And all of a sudden, somebody said, there's somebody else watching you.
Oh. Yeah, that happens.
Yeah. Lord, please forgive me for looking at that guy like that and having this road rage on Interstate 40 with my wife sleeping. Lord, forgive me, because there's always somebody watching. Amen. Right. Right. Always somebody watching you.
Right,
hey, kind of remind me, these guys broke in this elderly woman's house, thought she wasn't home. Right?
Yeah.
You heard this, right? And they jarred up in the window and opened the window, and all of a sudden, the voice said, Jesus is watching you. Got their flashlight, shined it, and there was a cage with a parrot in it. And the guy said, that's a stupid old parrot. And he said it again, Jesus is watching you. So they got it, get in the window, and they're walking around and trying to find something of value. And he said it again, Jesus is watching you. And all of a sudden, those guys heard, shine the flashlight on the floor. There was a big old German shepherd sitting there. And the parrot said, go get him, Jesus. Amen. I'm just saying, there's always somebody watching. Amen. Always, God is always, his eyes go everywhere. Amen. You got to be careful, fellas. Especially young guys, because I know I was a young guy at one time. Believe it or not, I was your age at one time. Amen. Not to pat each other on the back saying, yeah, he's older than me, right? But I'm just trying to tell you that the rooster comes home to roost in your life. Amen. And what you do, what you sow in your life, you're going to reap. And you got to be very careful, fellas. Be very careful. And I know you sound like I'm just preaching to the guy, but that goes for you girls too. Amen. Be very careful, because it'll come back to haunt you someday. Amen. All right, I know him. Whoa. Let me finish this up. The church, if it's going to survive and rebuild from the COVID, I think the church needs to go back to the basics. Amen?
Right.
Sometimes we get so caught up in the formalities of things, we forget the basics. Amen. And one of the basic doctrines of every independent Baptist Bible-believing church is that we preach the second coming of Christ.
Yes,
amen? And I'm ready. I'm ready to leave. If me and Brother Donath leave here tonight and we don't make it back to his house for some unknown reason, I'm going to have a race with Brother Donath to the throne. Amen?
Amen.
But I'm ready.
Amen.
The second coming, we're in it right now. We're in that Laodicean age where everybody wants their rights.
Yeah, exactly.
Amen. And that's exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm.
If we all got what we rightly deserve, we rightly deserve to go to hell. But thank God for his mercy and his goodness that he saved us. Pulled us out of the destiny of hell and gave us a place in heaven. Hallelujah. I'm so glad I'm saved, man. Oh, I'll tell you, just I could stand here all night and tell you how wonderful it is after all these years of still being happy and excited about the Lord and excited about serving him. Amen. You know that, telling Brother Donath, we are in a dearth right now. We're in a drought of men surrendering to preach. There used to be a day when we used to see young men come forward and give their heart and life to preach the gospel of the Word of God. We don't see that too much anymore. Amen. Matter of fact, America is getting to the place where all these foreign countries are going to start sending their missionaries to us.
Yeah.
Amen. We're there.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
But we need you guys. You are the future of this church. You're the future of the Baptist movement. You're the future of Bible-believing Christian churches. Amen. And if we don't have these young men get a call in their heart and a burden in their soul to serve God, one by one, this church is going to dwindle down to a handful of elderly people trying to keep the doors open. That's what's going to happen. I thank God that you have that youth meeting. Amen. Thank God it's the biggest meeting of your, maybe of your church year.
It is.
That's the way it's supposed to be. We've got to reach them. Amen. But it's not just getting them into church. We pray that the Lord will get you guys into the service of God.
Aye.
Surrender to the Lord. Let's stand to our feet. And maybe the sister could come and play the piano if that's okay, if I give an invitation.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And just let her play something on the piano. Don't even have to be a hymn, whatever you want to play on the piano.